And then on the next one, 13 sharp 9. It's just combining stuff we've already seen. It's a wacky one. I like the sound of it. When I want to get a little wacky, you know, very dissonant, funky.
Could I ask a question?
Yeah, of course. He asked a good question. These are all substituting for a seventh chord. If the song says C7, and you can play C9, C-sharp 9, C, any of these voicings, within reason, you have to use your ear and be tasteful, and of course, I have to be, but we have to say that as teachers, because, you know, then someone's going to say, well, my teacher said, you know, so books all say this stuff too. Secondly, the naming of it. Why is it called a C7 sharp 9? Well, first of all, you can't call it C sharp 9, because then that's going to imply that the root is C sharp. And then you could call it, another way you could potentially call it would be, similarly, if you said C sharp 9, that would also imply that the root is C sharp. The only way to really say it probably is C7 sharp 9. The reason we don't say C7 9 is because 9, it's implied that when you say a C9, it's implied that there's a 3, 5, flat 7, and then a 9th as well, and you don't have to say all that. But we say 7 sharp 9 because of that rule, because of the potential confusion about the root that we were just talking about. So then these 13 voicings, 13 sharp 9 voicings, would be like fret numbers XX, this is column 1, row 3, XX, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sounds pretty monstrous. I like that. Anyway. Now you know one of my tricks. When I want to get really crazy.
Huh.
Sounds like a Robert Fripp or something, but let's try it. At the right moment on a gig. You know, when that sax player is going nuts and he's turning beat red and you're playing that, he'll appreciate that. So let's try it.
He'll appreciate the 13 sharp nine.
Absolutely. He might not even know what it is. I probably would go right to the 3. I would play, 3 flat 7 for sharp 9, 13. And I think the reason I put the 3 in parentheses is because I think there was a song where you were asking me, or on some other lesson, and it had just, without the 3, it had just those. That's a pretty badass. There's no other way to describe it. So either with or without the 3. Yeah, let me hear that 13th. Yeah. Yeah, and I can't help but bring this up right now. We're gonna get to it in a little while. In the bottom of the page, when I wrote patterns, I wrote or two string variations. That applies to any of these. So I can't help but bring this up. But suppose you just did like the flat 9. I'm sorry, the flat 7 and the 13th. It's only two notes.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to how great that sounds. You try it. You'd be at. So it'd be XXX 3X5. And it would sound like this, the flat 7 and the 13th. One more fret up. Yeah, just try that 3, 4. Now, depending on the context, if you're in a big band with lots of keyboards and horns and everything, and you're just adding like texture, it's great. I think it's fantastic. I use those all the time. And then similarly, you can play the 3rd and the sharp 9 only. Try that. That would be XX2 X4X. Yeah, 3, 4. So these are very useful, dude. I use, especially with distortion. I'll be playing a solo. I'll even put that right in a solo. I'll go. Right? Because with distortion, it sounds a lot more. You have all these overtones. It sounds more than two notes.
Right.
And so it's a great tension builder. So sure. You can do that with any of these. So you might find portions of these with just two notes, and we'll get into this further. But should we explore the 13 up here?
How come you're pairing the 3rd with the sharp 9 and the flat 7 with the 13.
Good question. Why did I choose the one? You could pair anything you wanted.
Like, but, could you do the flat 7 and the sharp 9?
Yeah, you could do any combination. I guess why I chose those is because they have a lot of tension in them.
Okay.
Because they're two notes. Like, if they're like, you can just hear they're tense.
Okay.
You know, they're half step apart. Well, if they were in the same octave, they'd be a half step apart. Like, E and E flat are the two notes. If you did it next to each other, it would sound like this. But that really doesn't so. But the best is like that.
Okay.
Good question. And then let's look at.
So it's like these are too close almost.
No, but you can pair them. Like try to do the flat 7 and the sharp 9 together. It's a great pair. Very, very common. Isn't that great? Now you're starting. Funny, like when you just did that, I heard like two different variations. Even though you were doing like working off the same chord, the listener hears it as two different chords.
Mm-hmm.
So you get twice the mileage. So the more you leave out, the more mileage you get.
Right.
It's a great thing. That was well done just now. You did it without even knowing it. All right, and then moving to the column 1, line row 3, second voicing would be. Same 13th sharp 9, but now we're on different set of strings. So the frets are X, 7, 8, 8, 9, 7, 8, 8, 10, X. So again, it's X, 7. So wait, so from the bottom, X, and then 7. Come down one fret. Wait, come down one fret, yeah. And that, so that's 7, now 8, 8. So we're here, 7. And then 8, 8.
Yeah, you said come down one fret, though.
Yeah, because you were at the one fret higher. I should have explained, we're not playing the root. We're just leaving out the root here.
Right, but the root would be...
The root is C at the 8th fret, but the 3rd is at the 7th fret?
Yeah.
So I thought... That.
Oh, I thought we weren't playing the 3rd. I didn't really... Because it's in parentheses.
Yeah, I didn't explain. And you could play without the 3rd. Or any pair thereof. These are huge. When you talk about just the pairs, that's a huge topic. And it takes, it transforms this whole thing into, like, this one page gives you zillions of options. Cool?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Should we move on?